Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Wherever you find yourself, guys, I hope you're enjoying the rest of your Ascension Day here on this 26th of May. And as we also are reaching the last few days of May itself, I mean, just tomorrow it's Friday again, and then we're rolling into another weekend, and then ultimately it's just the last 2 days of next week. But ultimately, you are here in the company of your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Now, as we come through for this morning's discussion of the brand conversation, it's important to understand that for today, we're going to be taking a look at some crisis management aspects. Now, crisis management aspects all form part of one division, subdivision of a division of the overall marketing philosophy. Now, part of the overall marketing philosophy is that a brand's reputation needs some form of protection in times of crisis. Yes, guys, it does happen. Times of crisis do occur. Times of crisis are also one of those things that any brand can experience, and it can come from any direction. The crisis can be something that your own company created, participated in, or also actively played a role in. Now, this is also where one of the sub-pillars of the promotional pillar comes into play, that being public relations. Now, we won't be going into what public relations is all about. We're going to be looking straight, squarely, into the crisis control mechanism that is part of the public relations game plan. Now, you might have seen it in movies. You might have seen it in various kinds of international business or governmental situations. But ultimately, it still is all about crisis control. Now, in today's discussion, guys, the crisis has already happened. Imagine it. Your company, your business, your entity, your organization, your cooperative, your community project or whatever, is already within the folds of the crisis. Imagine that setting. The crisis is already unfolding because the crisis came through a whistleblower, either through someone that leaked information, either through proprietary information that was stolen and leaked online. That's how it sometimes goes with regards to like organizations like WikiLeaks and so on. Or with regards to some of the independent investigations done by organizations like Amnesty International and so on, where they take that which forms part of a conflict element, the conflict element, meaning resistance being brought on by an organization or its representatives with regards to an overall goal or overall, you know, desirable platform or aspiration or objective of either community, a national community or global community. Now, in this regard, guys, the crisis, like I mentioned, it has already begun. It has already happened. So what are we going to do? For today's discussion, I'm going to give you certain settings in terms of how you can navigate, administer, protect, as well as also manage and save a brand that is in crisis. Remember that. Because the brand is not something that can be dropped immediately. It's one of the sort of like most, it's the easiest choice out there for any person. It's the easiest choice out there to drop the brand and then try to start new somewhere else. But here's the thing. If people knew you were at that same setting, you will be associated with dropping the brand instead of standing up, owning up, and then, you know, facing the world at large. Now, companies, guys, face difficult situations every day. They do. They face it every day. And it's up to them and the executives on how they come out of these situations, these very difficult situations. Now, I can draw you back to what happened in 2015 with Volkswagen, VW. Not VW South Africa or Namibia, the international entity. The international operating brand. VW in 2015, guys, experienced something known as Dieselgate. If you guys don't remember what Dieselgate was, I'd just in terms of understanding the public relations fallout, that they experienced was based upon them including software into their diesel engines, that the moment the car gets tested for its carbon footprint or its, its carbon emissions, it tricks the testing software. Remember, when someone has to test your product to see if it is up to standards and whether it is compliant with environmental standards and, you know, regulations. Now, there's software in the car and you're using software to test the car. That software in the car is tricking the software that you are using to test with. Ultimately, it came out that, in effect, it was a trick to bypass testing. So this all speaks towards integrity. It all speaks to, in terms of, do they really have the environment at heart? This all speaks to levels of, you can't actually call it corruption, but it does form to levels of some form of corruption, because remember, Volkswagen is a SOE. It is a German SOE. It's a state-owned enterprise. And then ultimately, the overall goal, does it form in part of Germany's overall goal in terms of cutting and fighting carbon emissions and global warming and climate change? So the massive fallout, you might think, yeah, but that is like a nothing scenario, right? But it's like, yeah, but in that part of the world, people are taking this serious. They're taking this serious. Now, with that in mind, guys, that's just an anecdote. That's just a story to help you understand the fallout that Volkswagen experienced. Now, with this in mind, the crisis is already unfolding. It's already exploded and people are talking about it. So what do you do? What do you do as the organization? What do you do as representatives of the organization? Well, if you're the chief executive, the MD or whatever, first step is what you've got to follow. And this is just first step in a handful of steps that you need to follow, because this is how you can navigate the crisis, can navigate a brand's reputation taking a knock. First and foremost, you've got to think like a consumer. Put yourself in the shoes, in the role of a consumer. Well, technically, we all are consumers. No matter what spot in the broader society you occupy, we are all consumers. But put yourself, once again, take yourself out of the role of being a representative of the organization and put yourself in the shoes of a consumer. If you were in a consumer's shoes or in a consumer's position, what would you want to hear? That's the first question you got to ask yourself when you're doing crisis management for a brand. What would you want to hear as a consumer? Not as a representative, as a consumer. So you change your entire behavior. You change the behavior. Think like the consumer. What would they would have wanted to hear? So, first step would have been focusing on solving the problem and addressing the fear. So what would the fear have been? What would the problem have been? The fear is, like for example in that VW example, is, or case study, the fear would have been climate change, global warming, companies, you know, sticking to guidelines in terms of what is being discussed on the broader discussion basis and sticking to them. Guiding, being guided by those sets of guidance, of guiding rules, of guiding regulations, or guiding discussion points. Not generating or using, you know, funny tricks to avoid regulations, to avoid being taxed, to avoid being penalized. Because remember, it is all in accord with avoiding being caught. Avoiding being caught. Now, I mentioned the fears. Now, I'm talking about the problems. Now, guys, negative public relations or negative exposure has got more impact on a company's brand than that of positive exposure. Negative exposure is bad. It is bad. Sometimes it works good. And I'll draw back to the controversial ad campaigns that and Nando's, South Africa had always engaged on. They went on making caricatures of political leaders, for example, like Julius Malema, to making, you know, just borderline, very questionable advertising with regards to people with disabilities, to making borderline questionable advertising also on, you know, various other discussion topics that would have been taking place. For examples like workers who are demonstrating for pay increases. Now, you've got to understand, guys, that usually comes out when the management and the market and the advertising agency are together in the same boat. They like the attention-grabbing publicity that their controversial ads generate, yes. But ultimately also, it gets a lot of backlash. A lot of backlash. You see, in the example of something like Nando's, is that you've got to understand that they don't actually have to advertise their products because it's similar like KFC and the works, you know. It's a franchise-based business model, and the marketing is more for a national or a major platform. So ultimately, you don't advertise that much, but when you do, it's a handful of things, specials, and then ultimately, just being there. Just making people aware that we're still here. Now, that's through their communication strategy. Right? This VW saga was through the functionality of the product. The product functioned based upon the instruments, the methods implemented in order to manufacture the product. And the product...
Gusa etokoro lyo uhunga. Lipo peranya amoge, popera wakweni. Ninka wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba, oweno urugansi sungumi. Moktura mwe hundiro lye yowamba zuma okoko, dimo gwana kuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kono morozo ye utantantatu zime, ntatu ye utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura ko Facebook, ko VMMC Namibia.
Now coming back from that short break, and just in terms of taking in accordance with that discussion point from the first point of thinking like a consumer, the consumer is thinking, listen, the aim was that this product was supposed to be in line with whatever regulations exist. The aim was that this product was supposed to be in accordance or trying to combat or trying to stay within so one or other kind of carbon emissions, you know, target rate and so forth. And the aim would have been that some form of trust would have been enshrined within the manufacturing process of the organization, which ultimately represents the organization. Now, if that is lost because you were playing funny games in terms of, incorporating software, trickery software, software that tricks regulators or people that come to test your engines or come to test your products, and you are aiming to skip past it because you are solely concentrating on producing and selling instead of understanding that you've got a social responsibility in between or all over, you know, encompassing everything, then you're taking a knock in terms of positive perceptions. You're taking a knock in terms of positive placement, positive brand recognition, positive brand recall. Now, when you put yourself in the shoes of a consumer and to think like a consumer, rather than just focusing on your interests, you've got to be trying to look at solving their problems and addressing their fears. That's not for the consumers. You as the company, who is now in that public relations meltdown, think about the problems of your consumer and the fears that your consumer has. Think about it. Start formulating based from that position, not from your position. Because the main aim is that a customer should be regarded as always being placed first. always should be regarded. They're not always, you know, right. They're not always to be thought of first. But in the greater scheme of things, for now, put the customer first. Your second approach should be that you need to hold that thought. Hold that thought. Hold the thought. Just hold it. Now, in this regard, often companies want to jump in and they want to get their side of things also out there, because then everyone is now hearing the side from that opposite end of the street. But now the company wants to come in and, hey, let's also defend ourselves and also say our thing. You know, we also have a say in this. Just chill. If you're that marketing executive, that public relations officer, that PR officer, that communications officer, that media officer, chill. Wait, hold the thought. Don't always try to react now. No. Watch the space. Observe the space. So you already have your first point, thinking like the customer. Put yourself in their feet. So you formulate your response from there. When you hold the thought, don't just jump the gun. Don't jump any gun. Don't jump anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Chill. Take it easy. You've got to wait until you have all your facts on the ground. Taking all the blame this early in the discussion would be almost like setting yourself up for a trap. Because ultimately, guys, in the game of public relations, there's a lot of traps you can walk into. And this is all based upon perceptions, communication, and a lot of psychology. A lot of psychology. You see, guys, starting off early, and this is ultimately what has saved VW's approach to the 2015 crisis, because it was a crisis. It was a crisis. At that stage, VW was shipping out so many diesel engines, especially to the US market, in the European market, and ultimately they were also doing a rollout here in Southern Africa. Is that the notion was, well, firstly, they were calling themselves the people's car. That was what the name says, Volkswagen. Volkswagen. That's what it says. Volk is people. Everyone. Wagen, die means is a car. Volkswagen. Now, if you're not the people's car, and you are being detrimental to the people and their natural environment, then obviously your name does not resonate with that approach, right? And that is ultimately such a discussion. That is ultimately such an approach. Now, don't take the blame so quickly, because already people are already walking around there with, you know, confusion in their faces, confusion in their perceptions. Your brand name speaks about us, but what you're doing is not about us. Your brand name is looking to buy into us, but your activities is not resonating with that, or is not matching up with it. Now, those kinds of approaches, guys, is what the customers and consumers are thinking about. So you should not be jumping any gun. Don't jump out there with a press conference. Don't jump out there to try and explain your position. Ultimately, gather the facts and the information on the ground. Gather the facts and the information on the ground. That means do your little in-house investigations. Do your own little fact-finding missions. Get the details. Understand the storyline. I've seen so many people who want you to investigate something, but they can't see the train of thought. They can't see that everything walks in a straight line. Follow the straight line. Anything else you can attribute later on in, but directly, what you're seeing directly, here's the line. Here's the breadcrumb, the trail of breadcrumbs. Here is the thread leading you out of the mine. Not the canary, the thread, the rope. So take the rope and then you start asking questions afterwards. So You look at your little own investigation, you see, okay, what happened? How did this happen? Why was it done? Under whose leadership? Under whose mandate? Stuff like that. Because, guys, the necessary thing to think about, and this is usually where some part of your corporate social responsibility comes into play, is that you've always got to be in tune. You've always got to think about the welfare of the greater community, the greater environment, as well as also that there is some form of a long-term strategy to go for. Your next approach, before we hit our next ad break, is you've got to use what you have. Make use of what you have. Always. What do we mean by this in a public relations crisis or in a public relations meltdown? Well, it's all about that you've got to use your core principles to your benefit. If you're a 100-year-old company, then you've likely got a rich history to share. If you're just a startup that came through now, then you've got some success stories to talk about. People that have been loyal to your brand for so long. People that have supported the company's rise in this period. You take a look at some, trials and tribulations types of stories. Remember, with public relations, it's all about getting the positive out. You now see what the negative can be, but get the positive out. Get it out there. Get out there. Or if you're a business that is a family-owned one, for example, and you can talk you about your small business roots of how you started off. You've got so many things to work from.
Ushua kokusha oshikwiri rimba oshina hepero momunyovye tupeva pe yuva. Monao, po Global Parts, tunova ungure ova puike, odo nongo, nova harupu okuku vatera. Tunovitenda peke peke vyo vikwiririmba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, nui natuwa wetha ovitenda vyo Toyota. Wethako o manao manene shimuna o maile no top run. Tuvatha po mura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts tukupa onji viro o themba o hunga no vitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now coming back, guys, and crisis situations always bring out, you know, sort of like the best ability in terms of creativity, how to be creative and how to get out of a situation. Well, we ended off with using what you have, but this leads us on to our next approach. And this is our next approach, which was actually held off in our second approach with holding your thought. Now, when you see in terms of what you can use, what you already have about to talk about, to get back some form brand or brand positivity or positive brand placement, then you can apologize. Only then can you apologize. Now, when it makes sense, a sincere apology will always humanize your company while delivering confidence at a time when it is needed most. Now, the humanization element, guys, is to show customers, to show a broader public out there, that you, that the representatives of that organization are also people. They are people. They're not infallible. They can make mistakes. It is that kind of approach. That you are human. Now, this, guys, is the ultimate approach. It's sort of like the introductory phase. I say introductory phase because you're apologizing while still also making use of the previous point in terms of using what you have. You talk about your history. You talk about the positive contributions that your organization has made. You talk about the positive influences that your organization has been part of, and the growth that it has, you know, experienced in recent years, in decades gone by, in certain success stories, in times of hardship and so on. That's where your brand starts, you know, talking about those things after you've apologized. I say after. Now, from the apology, which is very, you know, direct, you've got to be looking at the next level. Because remember, if people go like, okay, we accept apology, we now accept it. We're now standing back. We're no longer scrutinizing you like we don't trust you anymore. We're now looking at you in a new light saying, okay, you've apologized. We accept. Well, in certain instances, that apology just won't cut it. I'll give you a very bad example. For example, like recently with what happened with Netflix and Dave Chappelle. You guys do know, or some of you might have seen Dave Chappelle's last show that he did for Netflix, which was vehemently attacked by various voices from the LGBTQ plus communities in the US, because a lot of them thought that he was being transphobic or homophobic, or, you know, all of those kinds of points. They were calling him all kinds of names. But in essence, his whole story was about a sad story of a friend who was a, you know, a transgender individual who had died, who had committed suicide. Now, he was attacked because of the messaging. And he was telling them, I am none of the labels that you call me. Now, he was already doing his own PR thing. But ultimately, a lot of the activists were going after Netflix, telling Netflix, but you are trying to incite something. And Netflix is telling their staff and various other kinds of activists and advocates, this is all about protecting the creator, because the content creator, because that is what Dave Chappelle is. He's a content creator. Now, ultimately, Netflix didn't have to go on any explanation except for internally. They had to do internal communication. Internally, because a lot of, I would call it, pushback was coming from employees internally. Up until last week, Netflix had issued a internal memo that said, if you have an issue with Dave Chappelle, because they've signed another contract with him, you can leave. That's what they told their employees. If you have an issue with Dave Chappelle, you can leave. Now, I'm not talking in terms of taking a look at that, but you can obviously see there is some sort of balancing act that the organization tried to do. Chappelle explained himself. Remember, you can he's not an employee. He's a content creator. So he's a contractor. You can consider him as a contractor. It's a short-term contract, and he's only being paid for the amount of work that he does in that time frame. He's a contractor. Now, a contractor is not a full-on employee. A contractor is also not a full-on representative of your organization. No. Now, ultimately, the breakdown occurred when employees that earn 8-to-5 salaries for Netflix were challenging the management and telling them, listen, this which this guy is doing is past controversial, and it's on the verge of being, you know, discriminatory. Ultimately, Netflix did even supported Dave Chappelle's approaches for most of his programming, even up to the one of last week, not last week, the one of last year, or actually beginning of No, it's end of last year. Yeah, it came out in December or November. And there they said, we support him because we understood what his last comedy sketch was about. What it was about. And that's why they signed him on for the last one. Because he gave them a timeline of for each one of those comedy sketches. It was based upon him building up to the last one. So they knew it was, they were in it for 3-4 years. They knew it. Now, Netflix didn't come out in any of, you know, following any of the templates of the points that I've just mentioned right now. But ultimately, they've stressed it. They explained their position. They've identified and explained why they're continuing with him. And right there, it indicates to you, firstly, the humanization element, because Netflix themselves seen that these are discussions that need to take place. So they explained their position. They explained their position, whether internally and even externally. They explained their position. And as I mentioned, guys, there are certain pockets of a greater society that will not accept an apology. They will not. I do not know why. Some cases they either vehemently demonize the executives of a corporation, which is sometimes justifiable, sometimes not, because things can get out of hand. But ultimately, that's what took place. Now, after your apology has taken place, after that has taken place, after VW CEO was replaced with someone new, that was the most radical change that took place because everything took place under him. Netflix's CEO is still Netflix's current CEO. This guy has been there for like 20 years already. So he's not going anywhere. In that same regard, you move on to your next phase, which indicates you've got to exceed expectations through full transparency. Exceed them. Exceed those expectations through full transparency. Why? Because one of the best things you can do to maintain your relationship with a customer is to fully disclose the root causes of an issue. It's almost like going to a therapist. It is. It's almost like going to your psychologist to seek therapy. Now imagine that your customer is the psychologist or the therapist. You, the representatives of the organization, you're sitting here. The customers are over there. And you are explaining to them, well, the root causes was, well, we had XYZ team. A specific design team or a specific operational team that had suggested in internal memos that this is what can be done because they found flaws in the product. Ultimately, most members of the management or of the board voted in favor of the suggestions coming from this team. Hence, that's why it was implemented. If you explain it like that, obviously a lot of people can see, okay, so there is a lot of accountability taking place. Firstly, they're owning up. Board, management, a specific team. Not the whole employees, a specific team. Remember that customers are always also in favor of employees. Guys, for anyone who's ever been voted or who's ever been promoted to a manager's role, I know a lot of you instantaneously identified the loneliness that you will experience. I've experienced it myself. The loneliness. Because the moment someone moves out of the rest of the ranks of the employees and they get into a management role, the management role puts you in a different kind of group of school kids. You guys remember the little cliques we had on schools? The rich kids over there, the well-connected people's kids over there, the teachers' kids that were there in a cluster, the popular athletes over there, and then just the rest of us children here on the playground. You guys remember those cliques? Now, it's the same scenario that you can apply into companies or organizations. Management is a clique. It's a click. You get promoted into it. You apply into it. But it's a click. The rest of the workforce, the staff members, those guys are usually seen as being, as always, getting some form of sympathy from customers. They are the people that the customers meet on a daily basis. They are the people that represent the brand image, the brand name on a daily basis. They're the ones, in most cases, that are sometimes thrown under the bus quickly. What I mean by that, usually when retrenchment takes place, it's from the ranks below, not from the management's ranks. I say usually, not all the time, usually. So in that same sense, the customers would already have seen, okay, if accountability is taking place in this whole public relations meltdown, it's not the employees. Because someone said yes, someone signed off, someone approved. Right? And usually that would come from management, the board, leadership, wherever. The top structures. Now, after that's taken place, companies would, or not custom companies, but the customers alternatively, they would then want the company to do business with the aim to make things right. They want you to see that there's a plan that you can be held accountable to, not by a, you know, like a policing force or regulation or an act or anything. No, that's going too long away. No company would like to be regulated by, you know, direct government legislation. No, no company would like that. But, I say but, it then falls on the shoulders of the management. And this is where you get sound business practice, you know, that ethical business practice aspects coming through. Because ethical business practices is where questions are being asked. You see, ethics is not always a crime. It doesn't always...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
And just where we left off before the short break was, with regards to ethics, guys, a company can establish its ethics, but it can also go against it. And there's nothing, not even an audit, not even an auditor can hold a company liable to their own ethical practices. That's the thing. Ethics can be easily discarded. Easily. Ethical business practices can be easily contravened. You know, constantly thrown out of the window. Constantly. Now, in that regard, that is unfortunately one of the biggest strays that a company can do when they don't try to enforce any kind of ethical approach. I've seen in companies, or in a company sense, where managers and supervisors try to impose ethical behavior on staff members. But then the question was always about ethical behavior coming from a management perspective as well. Who watches the watchdog? Who checks on the watchdog? If the watchdog is watchdogging itself, that means the watchdog can just ignore its own unethical approaches. Right? And that's unfortunately one such instance. For example, I'll mention with you a major one, and this is within the media landscape globally. I say globally. Now, as we, as media graduates, students, and whatever here in Namibia, if you go to NUST and to UNAM or any of the tertiary institutions in the country that offer media and communications programs, there are subjects there that form part known as ethics. They give you media ethics. But while we are being trained here in Southern Africa with regards to media ethics, you go to a place like the UK and the US, where they have media practitioners that can blatantly espouse right-wing and borderline racist communication. They can write and talk about, you know, discussion points that are in contravention of any UN statute. They even have media practitioners that actually promote for warfare, for a war, which is against what? A UN convention, which their countries had signed up to. Now, I mentioned these two countries specifically because I'm currently in the process of observing how their media reporting takes place. And one of the major things is corporate media, in their senses, has always been vilified by their own customer bases. I mean, guys, just to give you an example, the shooting incident that took place last week of the first shooting incident that made the news rounds from the US, the one that took place in Northwest US. Was it Northwest? No, Northeast US. In the Northeastern US, close the town's name that had the first 10 people being killed by the guy that drove 40 kilometers to go kill them. That regard, he was broadly quoting a media personality who was constantly speaking about something that was constantly proven not to be true. Now, the media practitioner who was then cited in terms of being at fault for espousing certain information was saying, no, it's not me. It's not, you know, it's not about me. So he's already doing his own public relations thing. His company has not said anything yet. His company has not done anything yet in order to say, listen, we're not going to change direction or take a different tack. They're not doing anything. They're not saying anything. They're not saying anything. If you want to see the worst examples of what have happened, from a media corporation or an entity that hasn't taken any responsibility, you can go to the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. It was a radio station that started that signaled it all. A radio station. And how is the accountability sort of like, you know, enacted? They're now still going through, they first tried the, you know, reconciliation and all that kind of processes, but ultimately all has also led into various kinds of legal proceedings being enacted. Where some institutions across the world have indicated that it might have been, you know, in contravention of various or kinds of UN conventions, but ultimately there was a local authority, which is the current Rwandan government, who is trying to enact some form of a justice because they feel that there are people that still need to account, that still need to be held accountable. Now that's the most extreme point. Even the American examples are also extremes, but the most extreme one is that scenario. And mind you guys, a lot of media corporations that have unethical practices do not come out and explain themselves. Well, here in Namibia, you do have that. And that's usually based upon the code of conduct, the media code of conduct, which forms part of a self-regulatory tool implementing the media ombudsman here in Namibia, or empowering the media ombudsman here in Namibia. Anywhere else, guys, you don't see this happening. You don't see this happening. Oh, well, I know the UK has a media ombudsman. I think so. I've heard in one sense that they do have an ombudsman, but I do not know if this person is a government appointed person or if it's from the industry. But ultimately, their ethics is almost, well, it's like air. You can't see it. You can't see it easily. Now, full transparency, guys, is the next promise that a company has to stick to. Now, you remember I said exceeding expectations and then full transparency? It's very difficult. For example, that discussion with regards to the first mass killing in the U.S., where the authorities found out that this 180-page document that the killer had, published online, was citing a lot of news articles from right-wing-based media sources. And ultimately, this was used as a tool in terms of identifying to these media personalities that, hey, listen, you are an influence on someone to make this decision. Even though the person was an 18-year-old man, it still was that they found proof of influence somewhere, because where do they get these ideas? Now, transparency in terms of all this has not yet come to the fore from that news corporation in the U.S., and even the media representative or the person that has this daily show. They haven't owned up to anything, so they are avoiding accountability. And secondly, they are denying to participate in any transparent process in order to correct their actions going ahead. Now, the next one, before we end off with our program, is in terms of how to address the issue with empathy. So you've always got to empathize as an organization. Now, a company does something wrong and skirts around the issue, like what is happening currently now in the US, for example. And whether you're a big business or a small one, your public wants an explanation. Always. They want to know why. Who's going to answer? And all that. And acknowledgement of the toll of your actions have had on your customers is important. Now, everyone makes mistakes. It's true. Everyone does. And it's all in terms of how you implement various actions in order to correct this. Next, you've got to keep to those promises. Remember the promises in terms of exceeding expectations and doing this through full transparency? That's where you now have to stick to your promises. So you've technically got to come out and say, hey, we've stuck to our promise. But like you and I know as well, there are no tools or implements or methods or techniques implemented somewhere anyway that will tell a company, so did you stick to your word? Give us proof. Give us proof that you corrected yourself. Give us proof that you changed something that looks like something will change in the way you do things that have negatively impacted us, the greater society, the greater environment, and so on. Give us proof. Give us proof. Now, whatever you've promised to customers, to activists, or whatever, you've got to deliver it. And you've got to deliver it well. It's as simple as that. Straight and easy. Now, it's better to have it under a promise and over deliver than to have the opposite occur. Not having a promise and not over delivering. Just continuing with business as usual. Just continuing. Now, remember, don't promise more more than what you can provide, and never lie through omission, failing to mention something. Never lie through omission. Never. Transparency includes or incorporates you actively incorporating all messaging, because it will be found out later, whenever. For example, with the Netflix discussions, Netflix was open and transparent with the discussion with regards to Dave Chappelle's programming from the get-go. The CEO was approachable. The guy gave his perspectives. He indicates under the guys and auspices of the greater Netflix board, and they said, listen, this is our discussion. This is our stance. We support, because we knew what he was going to do. He knew that we knew, so everyone knew. Those that are only reacting now, it's a little late, because everything was done above board, and that's what they're indicating. Everything was done above board. Lastly, guys, and these are the last two points I'm going to leave you with, in terms of that you've always got to have a plan as a company, and you've always got to take to the social channels. Firstly, with the plan, if you don't already have a crisis plan, you've got to establish one now. And while the hope is that you'll never need it, preparation is always key. It's the same thing that Dwight Eisenhower, the former US president and the former Second World War general, used to say. He said he found planning to be useless for war, but he found being prepared priceless. Planning for a war is useless, but still prepare nonetheless. Prepare for it. You don't know where it's going to come from. You can never anticipate where it might strike and how it might, in what form it might come, but it will happen nonetheless. So, you've also got to consider in obtaining a third-party perspective, meaning someone that is good at looking things from externally, from the outside, and will be a calming force in a stream of chaos to come. That last one about taking to the social channels, well, it's important that you've got your presence on the social channels. Ensure that you've got a social presence as a corporation or as a small company or as a business owner. Please, guys. But for the company, not you as the business owner. Please don't answer on a company's thing as a business owner. Don't ever do that. Make it look like there is some sort of third voice that communicates as the company. Something that looks well formulated, well thought through, and not based upon emotional responses. Ever, never, ever do that. Even if you're a one-man, one-woman show, never mix your company's social media with your personal show's social media. Never do that. Ever. Now, on that note, guys, it brings us up to the end of this session of today's brand conversation here on this Ascension Day. Stay tuned as the On The Radar team are ready to make the entrance in terms of bringing you daily bulletin programming and also getting you up to date with the latest discussion points happening in and around the country and all over. On that note, stay tuned and let's see each other again later today.
On The Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30. Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message. Type it out and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position, mm-hmm. to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes.
Mm.
Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. LelaPay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on LelaPay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download LelaPay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. LelaPay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.